Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O gentle one, I simply lament for he, Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I am a sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons. Purport. Vidura did not ask about the welfare of his elder brother, because there was no chance of his well-being, only news of his gliding down to hell. Vidura was a sincere well-wisher for Dhritarashtra, and he had a thought about him in the corner of his heart. He lamented that Dhritarashtra could rebel against the sons of his dead brother Pandu, and that he could drive him, Vidura, out of his own house on the dictation of his crooked sons. In spite of these actions, Vidura never became an enemy of Dhritarashtra, but continued to be his well-wisher. And at the last stage of Dhritarashtra's life, it was Vidura only who proved to be his real friend. Such is the behavior of a Vaishnav like Vidura. He desires all good, even for his enemies. Om Agyane Trimandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Nama Om Vishupadaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktunda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatrubhitsya, Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha, Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo, Vaishnava Bhyo Namama. So, this is the story of, which will be continued in the next couple of chapters, about two great souls meeting. Huh? What are these two great souls? Uddhava and Vidura. And, you know, when we read about Krishna and we hear about him and chant his holy name, you know, we feel attraction towards him, and great devotees, they feel separation, right, from his presence. But what about those who've actually spent time with him, you know, very intimately? They've actually been with him face to face. You know, think about Vidura. I mean, Lord Krishna was living in the house of the Pandavas, interacting with such intimate ways. And Uddhava, as you know, was a very intimate friend of Krishna. So when these two souls naturally come together, there's going to be a lot of feelings, spiritual emotions, right? Which is really, they're feeling separation, but it's not like the material separation that we feel, right? It brings suffering when we are separated from our loved ones, right? But what they are feeling is actually ecstasy. So we're going to, you know, that's coming up in the next chapter. But a little bit about what's happening here, what brought us to this point of, Vidura talking to Uddhava and going to be asking so many questions. Now in Canto 1, 13th chapter, we heard about Vidura coming back to the palace to deliver Dhritarashtra, right? You know, Dhritarashtra quits home. That was the title of this chapter. We heard that. And we heard that, by giving him sharp words of, you know, wisdom, Dhritarashtra was able to overcome his covering and leave home, right? But there was no mention about what led Vidura to leave the palace. Shukadeva Goswami doesn't mention that. Because the first canto then moves on to, Krishna disappearing. It leads to Drona, a post-Mahabharata reflection. You know, like how Srimad Bhagavatam is really a post-Mahabharata reflection. It's not really about the war. Huh? Bhagavad Gita, you could say that it's in the middle of the war, right? It's being spoken. But Srimad Bhagavatam is a post-reflection, Mahabharata reflection. It's dealing more with understanding what is the thinking of these great souls and the type of sufferings that they went through. You know, what it really deals with is how these great souls dealt with those sufferings. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this one pointed thing, how bhakti is the way out of all sufferings. So we see these great souls, showing devotional heroism, you know. And these things are not depicted anywhere except in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So it becomes very, very relishable when you hear about these great souls who are, you know, in this war and their feelings and how they, and why Krishna put them through so much suffering, right? Krishna was there, present, right? He was actually there. And why would he allow his devotees to go through the suffering, and how these devotees dealt with it? So it's a beautiful, so we hear, we see some of that, you know, like the story of Dhritarashtra and here Vidura lamenting about Dhritarashtra, feeling very, very sorry why this has happened to him. Now we, on the other, also then we see Uddhava. Of course, the first canto goes on to, you know, the Krishna disappearing, and then the Pandavas retiring, right? And then Parikshit Maharaj becoming the king, and then being cursed, right, to die in 7 days. And then we hear about, you know, and so in this way, Kali Yuga comes, you know, and Krishna disappears. And so the way he disappears, Krishna disappears, is he was in Dwarka, right? And the demigods came, headed by Narad Muni, maybe, or Brahma, who was he? They came and reminded Krishna that it's actually time for you to go back to the spiritual world. It's time. You need to now think about winding up your pastimes, right? And so Krishna tells Uddhava, and Uddhava, now this is all connected to Uddhava meeting Vidura, you know? And so Uddhava, when he hears that, he's immediately becoming distressed, because he cannot bear the separation of Krishna. And he says, Krishna, I'm going with you. There's no way I'm going to be away from you. And Krishna then gives him a job. He says, well, you got a job. You have to go to Badrika Ashram and inspire the sages there. Then Uddhava says, well, Krishna, I don't have the knowledge to give these great sages. And Krishna at that time spoke the Uddhava Gita, right? He spoke the Uddhava Gita. And then, Uddhava left. And then we see that, Krishna, of course, gives instructions to the sages that, you know, they see bad omens coming in the sky. And so Krishna gives instructions to them that you go to this place called Pindaraka and do some, you know, yagyas and all that to offset these omens. And so they go there, and of course you know the story of how when they go there, then the Yadus, they also were there, Krishna's big family, and they wanted to make a joke on the sages, right? So Sambha, he dressed as a pregnant woman and tried to, you know, and he went there and asked the sages just to, you know, have fun, basically that if he could predict whether it was a girl and boy. Of course, the sages knew, and they got very upset, and they cursed him that you're going to give birth to this iron club, right? And so this, they did give, you know, iron club was there, and they were really, really didn't know what to do. Now, what am I going to do with this? And they went to Ugrasena, and Ugrasena said, no problem, we're going to grind it to pulp, you know, and we're going to throw it in the ocean and don't worry about it. And he did that, but there was a piece left, right? So anyway, so all this is going on, and this piece was washed to the shore of Prabhashetra, and that's where all the Yadus went, and they fought with each other, remember, and they killed each other. And that's how the Yadus disappeared. And then Krishna and Balaram also participated in that fighting, and they killed off all the Yadus, right? And then Krishna sits under this tree, you know, banyan tree, ready to go back, right? And just meditating, and just right after the Yadus, all these Yadus have been killed, and, you know, this was Krishna's part of Krishna's plan, right? So, and Krishna is sitting there meditating, and Uddhava walks in. Uddhava was meant to go to Badrika Ashram, but he was feeling so much separation from Krishna that he couldn't still go. And so he comes again, and he meets Krishna again, and then Krishna again instructs him, you know. And then after that, Maitreya Muni comes in and he also gets the benefit. And then finally, Uddhava leaves. Uddhava leaves. And then he goes to a Bhadrika ashram. And so he was in the west of India and he needs to go to Haridwar, which is north central. So he goes there and that's where he meets Vidura in Haridwar. And in the meantime, while he's going to Bhadrika ashram, Krishna disappears. As you know the story, how he was shot by a hunter. So this is the whole thing. So we can see how Uddhava was feeling already, like he could not bear to leave Krishna, and he was. So in this mood, he's meeting Vidura. And Vidura, what was he doing? He was on this 30-year pilgrimage. He was kicked out by Duryodhana. He was actually kicked out by Duryodhana. And he's feeling he still has this soft corner for Dhritarashtra. And so now that they meet, he asks about everyone except Dhritarashtra, because he knows there's no hope for this person. He's going to go to hell. So here, Prabhupada in this purport is explaining how he was such a sincere well-wisher for Dhritarashtra. So what can we understand about Dhritarashtra? The Bhagavatam says that Dhritarashtra actually was a very good person. He was actually a devotee. But due to his filial love for his son, due to this one quality, envy, he actually lost it. Actually, it is said that Dhritarashtra was the eldest of his brothers, and he was meant to become king, but he was blind. And so therefore, Pandu had to become, his next one, younger than him, Pandu had to become the king. And that, of course, Dhritarashtra, he accepted it in a way. But one thing he harbored in his heart, and that is his son should become king. He has been denied the kingdom, but his son must become king. And this is this desire of him turned into such a strong desire that it actually turned into this thing called envy. And it harbored in his heart for the longest time, just waiting for the time when his son would become king, because he was the eldest. So it was understood that his son, Gandhari's son, would become king. But as fate would have it, fate is Krishna, of course, but as fate would have it, Kunti gave birth to Yudhishthira first. Gandhari, she carried the child for 2 years. I mean, her son, Duryodhana, actually all had 100 sons for 2 years. And so Kunti gave birth earlier. It said that when Gandhari heard this, she was very, very upset, and she, hit her stomach with her fist, and the 100, it came out to be a lump of flesh, and Vyasadeva divided into 100 parts. These became the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, because it was predicted that Dhritarashtra would have 100 sons. Now, even at that time, when Gandhari gave birth to 100 sons, as predicted, even at that time, Vidura warned Dhritarashtra and other people too, that actually get rid of your sons. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, to get rid of, especially the eldest one, Duryodhan, to get rid of him. Because he was going to bring the downfall of Dhritarashtra and his immediate family and the whole dynasty. But of course, that was not to be, because Dhritarashtra was very attached. And it's a little bit like, when you think about it, that how do you, just get rid of your sins, right? But because he had such a higher principles and such higher duties, like we hear about Anga giving up his son, King Anga giving up his son Bena when he realized. I mean, people did do that just for the higher purpose. So he was warned many times, actually, by Vidura, again and again, get rid of this eldest son, because he's a non-devotee. And because he's a non-devotee, he's not going to bring any auspiciousness to you or to anyone else. It's just going to mean trouble. Right? So in this way, he was warned. And not only Vidura, and then he warned him again during the disrobing of Draupadi, when she was, they tried to disrobe her, even at that time. he warned him. Actually, so this warning to him, to Dhritarashtra, was done by a few people, like even by Akrura, you know, in the 10th canto, 49th chapter, Krishna sends Akrura to Hastinapur to find out what Dhritarashtra is thinking. And such a beautiful chapter in the 10th canto where Akrura is giving him such nice advice. He's telling him that even your body doesn't belong to you. How, you know, there's no meaning, these wives and children, you know, you're going to lose them all. And you're committing sinful activities due to the attachment to them. But when you die and you're destined to go to the hellish planets, they won't be there for you. You will have to go alone. So things like that. But what did Dhritarashtra say? I know what you're saying are words of wisdom, but I can't take it. It doesn't touch my heart. Why? Because I'm too attached. But then he prays to Krishna and he says, please save me. I know what I'm doing is wrong. And I know that you are the one who can give the results of one's, you know, activities, the result of one's going to hell or being liberated. So please save me. So this was like so many times. Even Gandhari actually warned him. In fact, when Draupadi was being disrobed, attempted to be disrobed, then Gandhari, she had this blindfold. But then when she heard Draupadi scream, she was like really, upset, and she ran to the window of the palace, of the assembly too. And she went to Dhritarashtra and said, you have to get rid of this son. She says, actually, you have to banish him immediately. And Dhritarashtra turns around and says, banish who? Because he couldn't believe that the mother would be saying this. And she said, our son, Duryodhan, you have to banish him. He says, as a king, if someone did this, what they did to Draupadi, what would you do? What kind of punishment? He says, yeah, we would banish him or kill him. He says, well. And he says, I bore him. I bore him in my womb, and he caressed me, with his little hands. But I'm telling you, get rid of him. See, in many, many ways, Dhritarashtra was warned, but somehow he didn't get it. He didn't get it. He didn't get it. Why? Because of his envy, because of his one problem, due to envy of Krishna. So envy is pretty bad, isn't it? Envy that leads to anger. Now, Duryodhan was an incarnation of Kali Yuga, it said. So, and Kali Yuga is a time of quarrel, right? And quarrel, it said, is the son of envy and anger. You see? So what is the way out of envy? And envy is, like Shastra says, to be humble and tolerant. Dhritarashtra was full with envy because he couldn't bear the fact that he could not be king and his son could not be the king, right? So what does humility and tolerance do? Is that when we feel envious towards others because they have something that we don't have, so then being humble and tolerating that helps us to overcome our envy, isn't it? When we actually see that envy in us and we actually simply tolerate it, we realize that this is something they deserve, so Krishna is giving the result of their pious activities, right? And there will be a time when, Krishna will give it to me, if that's what we desire. But we have to be tolerant, right? So in this way, we see that I was thinking of how to connect this to the topic that I came here for and the topic of parenting, I did some seminars here and I've yet to do a few more on the art of how to raise children, on the art of Krishna conscious parenting, I was thinking that how Dhritarashtra, he failed in his duty, isn't it? He failed in his duty to raise his son, like Rishabhdev in that 5th canto, 5th chapter, 18th verse, he says, right? Unless you deliver your dependence from the ocean of birth and death, don't become a guru, don't become a mother or father, or don't become a teacher or guru, like that. Or demigod. Don't become that. Why? Because this is our duty. is actually to actually facilitate that soul's journey back home, back to Krishna, right? The journey has been broken somehow, and we have to connect that journey, just like our journey has been broken, right? And somebody took us by the hand and connected us, right? So this is a very nice point, right? And then Prabhupada in that purport, he explains that people who give shelter to others, if they don't try to do this duty, then they have to face reproachment by authorities. So in other words, it's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? We try to do our best on that, right? They face reproachment. And we see that in this case, right? Dhritarashtra, because he failed in his duty to take the right steps, right? He had to actually see the death of all his 100 sons. How did he see? He was blind, right? That was when Sanjaya, when he was relating the whole war, he was able to see through his ears everything that was happening. Imagine his attachment led him to so many atrocities. He was responsible for all the atrocities they did to Pandavas, right? Trying to burn them alive, trying to poison them. In what ways he was party to that? So in this way, we see that and he had to see it all. So his attachment was so much, but yet he had to see the merciless killing of all his sons. Because he failed in his duty. And then we see Gandhari, of course she was against it the whole time. But even she, at the end, you know, it said that Gandhari, in the end, when, you know, she was blindfolded the whole, you know, her whole life because her husband was blind, and so when towards the end, after the war, she told Vyasadeva she had a great desire to see the battlefield, you know, when you blindfold yourself, you're actually not blind. Somehow the desire may come in you that you want to see, right? And so she actually wanted to see, and Vyasadeva allowed her. And so she took off her blindfold and she saw all her sons mercilessly being killed by Bhima, every one of them. So what I'm saying is that, so what the Shastra is telling us, that anything that we do in terms of, if we don't see the central picture of taking, you know, helping that soul get back to Godhead, no matter what kind of relationship it is, you know, if we are in that position of giving shelter, then it has very painful, repercussions, you know, and so why? Because it's robbing that soul from its privilege of going back to Godhead. When we take that soul and we divert it to some, to a materialistic goal. It's actually in the verse before this verse by Rishabhdev says that, tells his sons. So in this way, you know, it's an important thing to consider how Dhritarashtra, because of his bodily love, which lacked responsibility, basically, right? Our responsibility as parents, our responsibilities as in any position of giving shelter is to help that soul, to facilitate that soul in its journey back home, back to Godhead. And when we shy away from that role, then obviously we can expect, you know, suffering and some reaction for that. So so in this way we can see that Dhritarashtra's filial love was to that. And you know, the acharyas have written a lot about that, you know, in terms of this importance of taking our dependence back home, back to Godhead. In other words, it's not just enough just to give them, mundane morality, you know, kind of being a pious Hindu, you know, like that type of thing. Because again, we're robbing that soul, right? It's not enough. Or some mundane chastity or mundane dharma without the ultimate dharma of pleasing Krishna. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful, because it brings us to this point of our ultimate dharma, paro dharma, you know. Following dharma in a way of pleasing Krishna. In a way of pleasing Krishna. So, anybody has any questions or comments? Yes.
You say that Gandhari was also, wanted to get rid of the sun. He's no good, like that. But why then did she give him the armor that time when she took her blindfold off and give him the armor over his whole body?
Very good. I thought about that, Prabhu, that somebody will ask that question. But I heard actually this is not part of the Mahabharata. It's something it's an extra story that is really not what exactly happened in Vyasadeva's Mahabharata. That's the, it's a very popular one, and actually commentators like to say that. Why? Because they're highlighting Gandhari's chastity, her resolve to follow Dharma at any cost, So in order to highlight that, they like the story, but actually is not part of that, anyway.
Before I joined, I listened to
Mahabharata. Uh-huh.
Before I became a devotee. And that story is there. And then when Bhima is fighting Duryodhana at the end of the battle,
mm-hmm.
Krishna tells him, hit below the waist because the armor is not there, because he wore a gumsha in front of his mother so that he wouldn't be naked in front of his mother. So this seems to hint that the story is true.
Yes. So I'm not sure about that, Prabhu, but it's possible that she had motherly love. I mean, mother is going to feel that love. I mean, she had certain principles, like she never supported Duryodhan. She never supported. Whenever he came to him, he says, I can't support you because you are against dharmic principles. So she never supported him, like the way Dhritarashtra supported him.
Yeah. So maybe her motherly love came in and out.
Yes.
We can say.
Yeah.
Sometimes was there, sometimes not.
Yeah, because her, her chastity, her dharma was not on the highest level. It was more on the basis of, mundane dharma versus when you see the dharma of Kunti and Draupadi, much, much higher, right? So that's why in the end she suffered a lot, She cursed Krishna, actually. And that was one of her fatal mistakes. So in that way, she had motherly love, and she was, kind of fighting between two things.
Thank you, Shrimati. Thank you for the class. So why is it that Dhritarashtra, in the beginning, he was giving so much advice, but only I think towards the end when Vidura spoke to him, that it was able to have an impact on him, and he left to go to a pilgrimage.
Well, you come to a point in your life, when you lost everything, and he had pretty much lost everything. And also, thinking is that he had come to that stage, where he was ready to listen after having lost everything, and also is the power of Vidura speaking, also the power of a pure devotee, how he can transform hearts, So,
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for your class. On this topic of pleasing Krishna, how you were saying that this is our dharma, to please Krishna. And of course we know about things that please him, like chanting, reading, associating with devotees, but there are different opportunities in our power of devotional service, the practice of devotional service, come different opportunities. And how do we know? Because there may be things that engage us in devotional service, but still there may be some inside we may have some obstacles to go forward. And how do we know actually this is something Krishna wants me to do? If we somehow we have some internal battles and struggles.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful question, Mataji. When we are just like Arjuna was in dilemma, you know, and Krishna then had to literally baby him, you know, literally. I mean, like you see that how at every stage Krishna is helping him and to go through his doubts and with such a compassionate and loving mood, you know. So we need to approach people in our lives who can actually help us and guide us, you know, help us with our doubts and our struggles. So that's mentorship, you know, like how we need somebody to kind of help us through it. And that's how Krishna would be pleased. Okay.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for class. Not that I'm a parent or anything, but I was just wondering in this day and age, if you did have a child who was, you know, adharmic, like what would that look like? Because you can't say banish him, because I feel like it's also the duty of a parent to like look after their child, because wouldn't that be adharmic on the parent? So I'm just trying to understand what that looks like.
Yeah, this is a scenario where when Dhritarashtra was asked to banish his sons, it's a scenario where he was a king, and it meant the welfare of all the citizens, you know. You know, this lineage was so carefully, you know, cultivated and so carefully protected, you know, and to mess up with this lineage was very, very something very serious, you know. So he was asked to do something which normally a person would not, in an ordinary sense, would not be asked to do, you know. In other words, we don't, banish people, you know, our children if they're adharmic. But definitely we can not be so entangled where we get very, have our life get very complicated, you know. In other words, we do have to take steps. If our children are bringing things from their past karma, which clearly shows that they want a different path, then the parents need to step away and try to, allow them to do what they have to do, you know, and not be so entangled, you know, like that. Of course, our duty to guide them remains. The caring goes on, you know, in some way, in a certain level, it goes on, you know. Okay. Yes. I know my parents, you know, they were all devotees, and and my sisters are all wonderful devotees and all that. My brother is just like, I don't know where he came from, you know, he's like a huge problem, really, like really adharmic, you know. And you know, it's just like karma. How does somebody like that appear in a family where everybody else is so, you know, my father left his body chanting the holy name on my son's lap. I mean, he was so pious, he was so devotional. So that happens, you know. And my parents just could not give him up. The attachment was so strong, you know. But by Krishna's grace, by Prabhupada's mercy, you know, they were able to still, you know, make it without kicking him out of the house. You know, they were still able to, you know, stay away and do things like that. Anyway, so I know that, you know, those struggles in material life are there, and we should be very, and we kept telling our mother that, you know, you just need to go away, like, give up this, you know, we would actually, my sisters would tell him that, just give him up, come and stay with us. It was so bad. Anyway, yes.
It's an interesting aspect that basically we're all fallen, and Krishna somehow wants us back. He's always hopeful, it seems, that we'll change our ways, and and he's, I'm sure that maybe he sends us messages in different ways, which causes suffering, but actually it's really good for us. And there's one other thing, that there was a little story that Burijan, he said about Vidura's character. He said, basically, one day there was this sage walking along a river with his with a person who he was talking to, and he was asking questions, and this sadhu, as they were walking along, you may know this pastime, where in the river it was flooded, and what was happening, they saw a scorpion in the water struggling, and the sadhu immediately put his hand underneath that scorpion and whisked it out, and he was stung by that scorpion. And again, as they were walking along, there was another scorpion doing the same thing. It was struggling, it was drowning, and he put his hand under it, and he did the same thing. And he wondered, what did you do that for? You knew that this creature would sting you. And he then explained to this gentleman who was watching all this that actually the scorpion has his character. His character is to sting. He can't help it. And the sadhu's character is to always help, even though he's stung. And so Vidura was like that. He came back. And even though he was stung, he still wanted to help his brother there. And such was his character. No matter what, he felt that he was not lost. That somehow, in spite of what happened to him, his character was always that of a sadhu, even in spite of what Dhritarashtra had done or his family had done to him. You know, so that's just an example.
Thank you, Prabhu. That was such a nice story to show Vidura's compassion. Definitely, he was such a person. He was the only well-wisher for Dhritarashtra, really. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so thank you very much, Hare Krishna.